Peekaboo, you fucks you.
I see you, you motherfucker.
Do you want to talk, or do you want to bet?
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, 2 dozen emus.
Counting cards is a foolproof system.
It's also illegal.
It's not illegal, it's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal, too.
Yeah, maybe after 9/11, where everybody gets so sensitive. Thanks a lot, Binbot.
Hey, everybody. So welcome. This is actually a special Vegas Confessions Zork Fest. We're going to actually do a couple of them, like Julian and I have been talking about. This is actually a two-part interview with Eric Rosenthal. Julian, you want to kind of kick that off?
Well, Eric's going to give us a rundown of what we're getting ourselves into. Let's do this.
Awesome.
What is Zork Fest and what we're basically getting our feet into coming into Atlantic City is basically what we're trying to get the gist of the show to be of. Yeah.
Okay. Zork Fest is basically a seminar, but more importantly, it's really an opportunity for people to come together to learn about travel loyalty and casino loyalty programs. Okay. And these groups of people they're usually different groups of people, which is funny. The people that follow comps and gaming are usually not the same people that follow how to generate and maximize the value on frequent flyer miles and hotel points and things of that nature. But we're really playing a very similar game. There are differences, but it's really the same mindset. So when you put these people together and you're able to learn how to maximize your comps at the casino, get your free rooms, maybe get the hotel to pay for your airfare, or if that doesn't work, use the frequent flyer miles that you're generating on steroids to fly out there for free, you get different people's views and thoughts kind of coming together. And for me, why I would go if I was going to be an attendee, it's really for networking. You know, a lot of these things require boots on the ground and people that are, I guess, watching for deals as well as noticing what opportunities are out there. And you can't spend every day in a casino. You just can't do it.
Right.
Right. So having this network and this team of people that, you know, they're like-minded individuals and they're looking for the same thing. Hey, you check out these over here. I'll check out those over there. There's scouting involved, whether it's at the casino or it's on promotions and programs with the different airlines or, you know, different promotional packages. You need to grow your network. Yeah. So what this is going to allow you to do is learn together. Right. And, you know, look to your left, look to your right, see whose hand you can shake.
Right. This is really an event to capitalize on, because I was under the impression it was genuinely just gamblers looking to get capitalize on their comp system and the way the, you know, the total reward system works. But this is literally going to be 1,000 Eric Rosenthals walking all over the place. I'm excited.
Well, the world couldn't handle 1,000 Eric Rosenthals walking all over the place. But what it will have is going to have realistically a couple of hundred people who come from different areas where they're, you know, anywhere from a beginner to an expert in Atlantic City. Believe me, I have a team of people here all the time, and we're always in contact trying to figure out, you know, what is the value of this promotion? Is it worth my time, my energy, my effort, my money? And that's happening all over the country.
Well, I think that's my thing too, because, you know, I mean, I'm not a, you know, I'm not a huge gambler. I do slots. That's what I do. So, you know, for a guy like me, you know, I'm not on the tables a lot, but yet I travel a lot and this is what I do. You know, what's my benefits? You know, what does that do for me, and how do I, you know, you cover a little bit in other episodes and interviews and stuff about, you know, you don't really have to do table games a lot. You don't have to do this a lot. And that's what I'm interested in. You know, how do I get the bang for my buck type thing?
So what if I told you, without ever gambling a dollar, you would learn how to get free hotel stays at casinos whenever you wanted to go.
I would add you as my life beneficiary. That's what I would do, because that is amazing if you could pull that off.
You can absolutely pull it off. You don't need to gamble a dollar.
That's what I'm interested in. That's what the seminars are for. I mean, and that's kind of my situation. You know, I do. I put money here and there in the slots. It's just, but the travel. I'm more interested in the travel and the room comps than anything. And so that's what it's just going to be amazing, you know, what I can pull off that.
And what if I told you that the free room doesn't have to be at a casino?
Really?
What if I told you that free room could be at any chain hotel with a loyalty program around the country and in many cases around the world?
See, sure, I've done some similar, like, you know, we're Marriott members and we're Hilton members and you know, we see the points kind of coming and going. We just my wife and I never really build enough points to make that feasible for us or to get for, you know.
That's what you're going to. Okay, so yeah. So one of our speakers actually works for and writes for the points guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So first step is, how do I generate enough points that will be covered? The next step is, where can I get a really good redemption? You know, whether it's frequent flyer miles, hotel points, other loyalty points, or even, you know, within the casinos, that's really a store of value. It's almost like a separate currency.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So maintaining this separate currency, how do I still get the best value? Even though it's still non-cash, if I do it one way, it might cost me 100,000 points. If I do it another way, it might be 25,000 points. Well, in that 25,000 point scenario, I now have four nights for the price of one.
Okay.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
That'll
work at
Marriott. Marriott just bought Starwood, so that's Sheraton, those properties. It'll work there. It works at Hyatt. You tell me where you want to go, and I'll tell you what hotel we can get you into.
Who owns Cosmo? Who owns Cosmo? Which one? Who's that?
Yeah, so Cosmopolitan would work, too. Cosmopolitan is a higher-end redemption, and you'd have to do more work.
Right.
But you could certainly get a redemption.
So pull that off. Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you a freebie here. So Venetian and Palazzo are an IHG property. That's the same company as Holiday Inn.
Shut up, really?
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah. So even though they're owned by Sands, they have an affiliation with IHG, and you could use Holiday Inn points to book your way into Venetian or Palazzo.
What a trip.
See, the two are, it's like Twilight Zone. You know, you have this on this end and you have this on the other. So it just doesn't make sense to me. But that's the stuff, you know.
Well, they
it's amazing.
They do. IHG does have nicer properties, but
the
funny thing is, a lot of times Holiday Inn is that's the play where you can earn more points than what it would cost to stay at a Holiday Inn.
Right.
Nice.
That is crazy.
Then this right here, people, what you guys are hearing is all stuff we're going to learn at Zorkfest. And this is why we wanted to have Eric on, because obviously he's going to be one of the speakers. But again, he's going to get us basically ready for what's going on. And that's why, you know, we made it a big deal to get him on. We're going to get, you know, a couple other East Coasters on that know a little of what's going on as far as the seminar and as far as Atlantic City and the East Coast. So again, Eric, we really, really wanted to thank you for, you know, these freebies. And these are things, you know, I had no idea about, and I wouldn't even think. And, you know, my buddy Shane over there, who's in Washington, I mean, of course, especially for like the travel points
and all that,
flights. And, you know, if you capitalize on, you're getting free flights to Vegas all the time. I mean, that's a win-win. I get lucky I have a drive, but yeah. You
know. I know, that's my problem. Yeah. I got to take a layover somewhere, at least one, to get to point A to point B, you know?
Yeah, you had asked me the question about, you know, what was your aha moment with Vegas?
Yes, we did.
Right. So the bigger aha moment was when I figured out that I could travel wherever I wanted to go, if not for free, near free. How many places in this world, but you know, let's back it up a little bit. How many places in this country do you want to go that, you know, you're probably not going to go to if you have to pay to get there? But if your airfare is free and your hotel is free, it means nothing to leave on a Friday night and come back on a Sunday night and just check out a new spot.
And that's what my wife wants to do. Like, she loves to travel. She's just tired of traveling to the same place. So, you know, we look at these
then
other places,
she should,
you know,
probably attend Zorkfest and not go to New York City.
I know. I'm trying my damnedest, Eric, but she's her own beast.
It's okay. We're gonna bait her. So, the first night, we're just gonna have her sit down with us and Eric Rosenthal. And he's just gonna start.
She'll be set.
Giving her reasons why she doesn't need to go to New York and stay here and gain something.
I think New York City's great. I think she should check it out. You're leaving on Sunday.
Yeah. We're flying out about 3 on Sunday. We're coming in late Friday, so we don't have a lot of time.
Saturday would have to be the day.
I don't know.
Maybe you guys split up. One of you takes the casino sessions. The other one takes the travel loyalty sessions. You take really, really good notes compare at the end.
There you go. Yeah, there's always something. I can't wait. I'm just, that's amazing what's going on. I cannot wait. Definitely bring my recorder so we can have everything set up.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have one. I'm going to have one. We're going to be pulling everybody aside, having little chats and interviews. I'm excited. I can't wait to get so many stories and things on this show. I mean, it's overwhelming, you know, the potential we have, especially getting there to Atlantic City and meeting a lot of the people in the East Coast. And I joked with my wife earlier today about how, you know, I'm coming from California, and I'm going to be the guy from, you know, we're going to be from West Coast, and we're going to be the people with accents, you know. And usually when we go to Vegas, it's everybody else that have the accents, so everybody's just going to look at us kind of weird. And
Tables reversed, though, this one.
I will give you a heads up, though. I know you like to pull out the GoPro. The casino floors out here, they're not so okay.
Not as lenient? Okay. Yeah. Well, and I actually, we had made sure I bought a Zoom too, because we wanted to make sure, you know, it's not going to attract as much as attention, I've having trouble inside the casino getting footage anywhere we went, but you're right. Thank you for the heads up on that one.
Yeah, no problem. They'll be a little bit more aggressive with you here.
We'll be falling in love under the boardwalk. From the park, you hear the happy sounds of a carousel.
So,
I dig it.
Awesome. Well, I've been recording, but I'm going to go ahead and, Julian, I'm going to kick this off a little bit, kind of say who we got, and we're going to plug this into
our
stuff.
So right now, everybody, we got on the line our very first ever person on the show. Finally on. I'm excited. Yeah, we have Eric Rosenthal on, and we've actually been in contact with him over the last few weeks, and, you know, he was one who personally invited us out to Zorkfest, and to attend this event was, I mean, just, we were super, super, super happy and super grateful. So, again, we wanted to make sure we get him on the show so we get kind of an idea of what Zorkfest is going to be like, what the East Coast, you know, what some of the expectations we have to look forward to, and, you know, what better than to have some of the East Coast people on to give us, you know, some insight and, you know, welcome us in, basically. And again, we know Eric. I've been to a couple events with him. I've hung out with him. He's super, super chill and very knowledgeable. And if you guys seen some of the YouTube videos I put up lately, there's a spot in there where I kind of interview everybody one-on-one. And I threw him in there just because, you know, he's very quiet. But when you get him talking and, you know, you just ask a certain question, boom, he lights you up with knowledge and lets you know certain things you didn't even know, you know. Like, I didn't mention to anybody, but I'll say it here on the podcast. It's not a secret, you know. I booked the room for Shane and his wife just so, you know, we'd get a cheaper rate. And, you know, Eric was like, hey, why don't you just add Shane on there to your room? Like, he's with you and he has essentially, you know, access, no problem. Like, and I was thinking, wow. I mean, I had no idea.
Light bulb.
Just little things like that. And I mean, I had no idea. Here I am. I'm going to sneak him into the room and pay for the room so he gets a better rate. And
dress me up like a woman so you can hide me underneath your skirt or something.
But yes, I mean, we are excited to have him on. It's our first guest ever here on Vegas Confessions. And, you know, this is what we intended to get people on, get some great stories to you guys and get some insight. So this is going to be basically an Atlantic City special episode, a Zorkfest special. Again, we are honored to be invited. So again, we wanted to get him on the line and ask some questions.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. And if we circle back, I've got a great Vegas confession story about adding people to a room or not adding them to a room and how it can go really, really badly.
I'm writing that down right now because I'm going to hold you to that, Eric. That is awesome.
All right, so you want to start with that?
Yes.
Go ahead, kick it off.
All right. So it's probably 2015. A buddy of mine met me out in Vegas. And I usually take the red eye home to the East Coast. and I booked the room an extra night, so I have I have the room, you know, the whole day.
Right.
Well, I'm getting ready to leave for the airport, and my buddy says to me, "Hey, listen, I'm thinking about staying another night. Do you mind if I just use your room?" Yeah. All right. Cool. I don't really care. Sure. So I give him my room key, and I don't think about it because I'm leaving the blackjack table and going to get my bags and go to the airport. So this buddy does tend to drink a bit while he's in Vegas. So, he keeps throwing them back, and somewhere during the night, you know, now he's drunk and he loses his room key. Well,
here we go.
All right. So I missed a very important part of this. So he took all of his stuff that was at bag check and put it in the room before he got drunk.
Oh, wow.
Right. So now all of his bags, his medication, the whole thing, everything is locked in my room. He is not added to my room. I am at the airport, and he's now drunk and, you know, can't get into the room. So I get on the plane. My phone goes into airplane mode. I'm getting ready to go to bed. And apparently now he's trying to, you know, talk to the people at the front desk and figure out how to get into my room. Well, he's drunk and he's belligerent and they won't let him in. So he goes to the room and he tries to force his way in.
Oh, great.
Oh,
boy. Yeah. So he's now 86 from the property. All right. Security forcibly removes him. And I don't know any of this because my phone is in airplane mode. I'm, you know, probably at this point.
Flying home, trying to do your thing.
Right. Yeah. It's the middle of the night. So I land, and you know how when you take your phone off of airplane mode and then all the missed text messages come in and you're like buzzing, 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 buzzing? Yeah. All right. So my voicemail was empty when I got on the plane. There were more than 20 voicemails. There was him calling me. There was the front desk calling me. There was security calling me. Everybody's like going crazy. So now it's, you land at like, you know, with the time change, it's like 6-7 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. I don't know who to call first.
Jesus.
You know, because the messages started polite. You know, "Mr. Rosenthal, this is such and such at the front desk. I really need you to give me a call back." And then they become more and more urgent.
They got a little more barbed as they got.
So needless to say, learning to add people to the room is really, really important.
Julian, now, note
in
to
my
self.
In my buddy's defense, he went back, he gave like Starbucks gift cards to everybody at the front desk and all the security guards that he, you know, kind of got into a tussle with. And now he's welcome back and there's no issue. But they wouldn't give him the stuff in the room and he had to leave. So he had to pay like $300 to have them ship his luggage back to where
that
he lives.
Sucks.
Wow, we're already getting schooled on the first episode of having a guest on. Yeah. Man, that is awesome.
FYI, I'm writing that down. Make sure to add to the room.
And this can possibly happen considering Shane drinks.
I do drink.
His wife doesn't plan on sticking around at any of the events.
Yeah, but I'm not a blackout guy.
But we're in a good situation. I'm there for 6 days, so we're okay.
There you go. That's awesome. Thanks, man. That's cool.
Add both of them to the room. You can add more than one person.
Okay,
there
perfect.
You go. There you all go. Right. Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, cool. Yeah, we'll throw that in. That's after all. That's why we named our podcast what we're naming it, along with other stuff. Yeah, Julian, man, I guess we both got questions. I'm going to let you kind of hit it off.
Yeah, definitely. I want to start off. My biggest thing is, obviously, as West Coast boys, we're going to compare the shit out of Atlantic City to Las Vegas, and you know, we're gonna compare every aspect. And I've heard in other podcasts, you know, don't get your expectations up, but I mean, it's what we do, especially, you know, we love Vegas. And I know you, Mr. 10 times in Vegas this year, you love Vegas we do.
Right.
So I mean, this is some of the questions we were kind of, you know, hoping to get some of you East Coast fellas to answer for us, because we are in the future, we're gonna have Vito on this very episode, and we're gonna have Craig for Due for a Win on here as well. So we gotta set all this stuff up. But right now, I mean, we basically wanted to ask everybody, you know, what are we getting ourselves into? What should we expect when it comes to the East Coast, basically?
All right. Well, December, it's gonna be cold.
Okay.
So that's the first thing, right? And around the country, most people think that Northeasterners are rude.
I heard that.
I don't think we're rude, but we're definitely kind of short.
To the point, so maybe?
Yeah, short to the point.
Yeah, there you go.
There's probably more ball busters out here than there are elsewhere, so you should expect a little bit of that. In regards to don't get your hopes up, I love Atlantic City. I've been coming here since I'm a kid with my family.
Yeah.
But if Atlantic City was as good as Vegas, I wouldn't go to Vegas 10 times a year.
Right.
Okay. Point taken. Okay. Yeah,
so if I'm flying across the country regularly, it's because Vegas has things that Atlantic City just doesn't have.
Okay.
There are not as many non-gambling, drinking things to do in Atlantic City. So, you know, when you said you were coming out for like 5-6 days, I immediately thought, like,
but what's he gonna do?
Yeah, that's a lot of Atlantic City.
Right,
You know, I would never come here for more than 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
If it was my first time, you know, there's more things to explore, and if it was summertime, you've got, you know, all sorts of boardwalk things to do.
Right.
But you like to gamble, so if you like to gamble, you're gonna be happy. I mean,
there you go.
Right, and in the aspect that a lot of the East Coasters have been, just giving us things to do, ideas. Hey, you know, if you get bored of Atlantic City, which you should be in 3 days, there's definitely a lot more to check out. There's Philly, there's New York, there's everything's there in a couple hours drive.
That's so,
I'm excited.
Everything's close, kinda. You know, if you can drive to it, I would think. So
yeah, you know, nothing is Philly's close. Nothing else is like super close, but all within a day's drive.
Gotcha.
So you could be, you know, as far north as, you know, New York City, as far south as Washington DC. That's a bit much for a day trip, but I mean you could do it. So Philly, New York, Baltimore, Washington DC, like there's a lot of things around here that are day trippable.
So I got a question with that being said, Eric. So, you know, my wife's going to, you know, because she's never been to the East Coast type thing. She really isn't that kicked on the Zorkfest. You know, we're doing the Zorkfest, but she's more, hey, I get a sightsee. So her plan was actually to shoot up to New York. And from what I understand, it's only a couple hours away. Is that a doable thing for what she wants to do? Like take the day, maybe get back, you know, 7-8 at night, whatever have you. Is it doable?
Depends on what she wants to do when she's in the city. Gotcha. You're probably looking at 2.5 hours to get into the city, and you know, driving in isn't going to be good, and transportation, you know, she might want to drive to a train station and then take the train in from there.
That's what I was wondering. Okay.
If she's just looking to walk around for a couple hours, she gets an early start and then comes back the same day, it'll be a long doable.
Okay.
The Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center will be up by then. You know, shopping. I'm not sure exactly what she's looking for. It's doable, but it'll be a real full day.
Gotcha. Okay, that's good notes. That's cool. I think that's really what she wants to do, is a tree and the shopping thing.
On that note, the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center, is that a big attraction? I've seen 4 different people mention that.
Yeah. It is. I'll put it to you this way. I'm Jewish, and we go every year. All right. That's so funny. I mean, it's. Really very pretty. They do a hell of a nice job. I mean, it's one of those things where if you can make it, you probably should, but you have to be willing to walk around in the cold.
Okay.
Yeah, well, right. We're Spokane,
that
so
cold is a whole different cold, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You're California there, guy. You haven't even got cold over there yet. We already
you're
hit 20-something. Yeah, I know, right? That's good to know with what's going on. So with that being said, and I doubt very rarely there's anything, you know, I heard like the Cousin Vito, you know, I had John was talking about this and that, you know, everybody's gambling, everybody's having a good time. Hopefully we win at something, whether it's craps or whatever we're doing. You know, again, I'm not a huge table guy, but I do slots here and there. But, you know, it's late at night. We want to do something where, hey, let's get some grub. Let's get ready for the next day, Zorkfest, whatever have you. What he mentioned, the Continental. What else is around there for that?
There's a bunch. All right. So the Continental and Budokan, which I mentioned on the next episode, they're in the playground, which is across from Caesars. There's a sky bridge that connects them. There's a bunch of restaurants there. What kind of food are you looking for?
You know, late at night, probably anything with sustenance to a certain point. Probably right. Like American cuisine or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, if you're staying at Bally's and you're not looking to go too far, there's about 6 or 7 restaurants over at the playground. You've got Buca de Beppo's at Bally's, which is fine.
Ooh, I like those.
There's good drunk food at Bally's Wild Wild West. They've got like a barbecue stop, which is like real quick serve.
I kind of heard about that.
Good drunk food.
Is that a casino, like within a casino, or is it next to it? Or what is that setup like?
So it used to be a separate casino altogether.
Oh, okay.
It was, you know, when theming was really popular in the 90s, I'll call it.
Right.
Right. So Bally's Wild West became the truly themed casino in Atlantic City.
Mm.
And as Caesars went through their bankruptcy, they kind of gutted it. So now there are some slot machines and there are like the low end gaming tables. So you could get $5 blackjack, $5 craps.
Okay, that's a place. I read about that. I couldn't put my finger on which one it was. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's it, right. And on the weekend, they usually have like live bands. You know, they really, this is like the Atlantic City attempt at bringing the millennials in.
Right. Is they've it working?
They've got a mechanical bull that you can ride. Oh, and, God. You know, it's a little gimmicky, but, you know, it's fun too.
Hold me back, so Julian. I'll be on that
it's
bull.
It's kind of like a... Would you say it's like a Margaritaville inside the flamingo type deal?
Or like Gillies? It sounds like Gillies, maybe.
It's a little different, but maybe that's probably the closest comparison.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, it's... I think Margaritaville is more laid back. This is kind of...
You got a lot of ums in there, Eric. Are you sure about this place? Because you're umming a lot.
Well, I don't hang out there, so I'm trying to give the people what they want.
Bella's on a chain.
You know. Oh, and the beer pong. Yeah, I mean, it's totally a millennial.
Oh, that's
place.
A millennial
They've got
thing.
Beer pong tables and cheap beer and a live band on the weekend. I mean, it can really be fun, but it's got to be what you're looking for.
Yeah, well, right. Get it. Well, you know, I mean, I plan on hitting things, Julian, with you. I mean, you know, God, we can bounce around. I'm definitely Bally's and Caesars is close from what I understand. I don't know about Tropicana and those other ones are kind of on the outskirts. I don't know if they're within walking or...
Yeah, so it's within walking. So Bally's, Caesars are connected. They're actually connected by Wild Wild West.
Oh,
but
touche.
You could go through those three without going outside. They're really in the middle of the boardwalk. And then on the boardwalk to the two other extremes, now you have resorts at one end and you have Tropicana at the other. Tropicana's kind of cool. It's worth checking out. Big
That's right.
It's probably a 10-15 minute walk, which, you know, if it wasn't December, would be nothing.
I was going to say, is it worth it? That's where you're getting to. That's where you're going, I think.
If
it's worth the walk.
I'm not going, probably, but if I was in town for the first time and I wanted to get a feel for everything, I'd probably go check it out.
Okay.
The one that you have to go to is Borgata. Borgata is the one that's the strip equivalent casino in Atlantic City.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So that's within Lyft. How far? You can't walk there, right? I mean, that's a little further.
You can't walk. No, oh, okay. You can't walk. So that's in the marina. So you have to either drive over, Uber over, take a cab.
Okay.
Interesting thing about cabs in Atlantic City. You are capped at, I don't know if it's $14 or $15 one way, but as long as you stay within the city limits, it doesn't matter what route they take or how long it takes.
Shit.
That's
kind of
cool. Yeah, I know, exactly.
Yeah, right. Long haul me all you want. Here's your $14, right? Whatever the number is.
Strike up a conversation,
like
drive around for an hour and a half. It's capped at 14. It's fine.
So I got another one for you. Eric, I know we witnessed a pretty good-sized jackpot in Vegas recently. What is the biggest jackpot you've ever witnessed?
Other than the $1.2 million, I've been present for multiple six-figure hits. None were mine, but I go to the seven-star events that they have. And usually you get a bunch of heavy hitters that are playing the $100, the $500, the $1,000 denomination machines.
Wow.
And yeah, so, you know, when the denomination is that high, you get a lot of really, really large payouts. Caesars has a $1,000 machine. Harrah's has a couple of $500 machines. And I've definitely witnessed them. You know, it doesn't need to be like the jackpot for it to break six figures.
That is crazy.
I know you've been to a lot of casinos. I've listened to the travel Zorks podcast. What is Zorkcast? I know you've been all over. So what is your favorite casino if you had to pick one?
Boy, I really...
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one because there's different things that I like about different places. The one that we talked about on Zorkcast was Empire Casino in London.
Right.
That one was pretty awesome. So the casino as a whole wasn't really incredible, but the high limit room where we were playing Baccarat, I mean, they couldn't do enough for you.
The drinks were flowing, right?
The drinks were flowing. You know, they bring a menu to you. They bring the food over. You could either have the food table side, or they've got like a little restaurant in the high limit room.
Oh, wow.
Right. Like anything that you want. Sure. No problem. And like service with a smile. So that was pretty exceptional. I'm a fan, and this is probably due to Mark and Dr. Mike. Harrah's Southern California, the old Rincon.
Yeah.
I really like that property based on, I guess, location. You know, you guys get California weather all the time.
Right.
Well, you get California weather.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sorry, Shane. But that's like a big deal for me. And Harrah's Cherokee in North Carolina. That's a great
place. Oh, sorry. Harrah's. I didn't think there's that many Harrah's.
Oh, there are. Yeah, there are.
Gotcha.
And the ones that I mentioned are some of the more off the beaten path ones, but Harrah's Cherokee, it's up in the mountains. It's a beautiful place, lots of things to do other than gambling. I look forward to going back there. That's a really cool spot.
That's cool. That's cool. With that being said, too, I got a quick follow-up question to that. So, you know, your casinos, what's your favorite? I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I even if I'm not gambling in them, I just like walking around in them. They blow my mind. They always have. You know, I try to hit everyone. This time I hit more casinos that I didn't, like Rio and Palms, I've never been to. When you say, like, you've been to Vegas 10 different times this year, obviously you went to Vegas. What was the first time that you knew it? Like, you fell in love with it? This is what did you do? What did that look like to you?
Boy, that's a great question.
That is.
One of my best friends moved to Vegas 4 years ago, and it became a combination of catching up with my friend in this city that I've always had an affinity for, but it just became intensified. On that trip, we hit a couple of jackpots, so it was a very profitable trip, and we talked about how the business that I'm in can be done from anywhere. Trip took on like hanging out with my buddy, plus how do we do business out here, plus it was profitable, plus we had a great time and everything was comped.
Everything
came together, and the thought of I could do this for free whenever I want dawned on me. And I was like, well, there's nothing else like this. This is the one.
Yeah. No, I totally, that would make my day, you know, completely. That's amazing. I just love hearing the stories, you know, because I mean, I know when I fell in love and we covered it, you know, a couple episodes ago, but it's always nice to hear that, you know, I mean, that place is unique. Definitely. There's nothing like it in this world, I don't think. Maybe Atlantic City. We haven't been there. I don't know. We'll see what Atlantic City looks like.
And, you know, the funny thing is, my wife doesn't really gamble. She's not. She's really not into it at all. But she loves Vegas.
Nice.
So I don't even have that uphill battle.
See, I do. I have that battle. So, gotcha. Do you go every time with your wife, or do you do solo trips?
No. So we've got two young kids. So
okay.
She comes to the summit every year. Usually maybe one other trip she'll come on, and then the rest, it really doesn't work out. We don't want to ask my mother-in-law to watch the kids that often.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And we do bring them sometimes. So, my kids came with us in October, and that was fine. That's a very different trip.
I'm glad you said that. Actually, you're right. That I talk to people about that. That's, you know, what gets me is 2 o'clock in the morning, you're downtown Fremont, and, you know, there's gals out there, their titties are shaking, excuse my French, all this stuff going on. There's people out there with strollers. Their kids are in strollers, and they're out there like 2 a.m. To me, you got to separate that. You know, you can have this experience or this experience. You can't blend both. Don't be that parent, you know.
So we bring our kids, but our kids are in the room by 7 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So I always bring either a babysitter or a family member who can stay with the kids when they come. You know, there's all sorts of things for the kids to do during the day. And then before Vegas becomes really Vegas-y, you know, they're tucked in the bed. So there isn't that much of a difference to them other than, you know, the hotel that
they've had their fun
instead of the casino.
Yeah, they've had their fun. They've seen what they want to see, and you know, and they're probably tired at that point. That's good. Yeah, that's a way to do that. How old are your kids, Eric?
6 and 4.
Ooh, wow, they are young. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's fun ages, I'll tell you that.
I know you're a frequent casino goer, Eric. Do you have any gambling superstitions?
Gambling superstitions. When the dice go off the table, I do call my bets off the next
morning. Really? Okay, I see that one. Yeah, that one's pretty common.
I do. You know, and it isn't that I really believe it makes a difference. It's just that I'll be mad at myself if I didn't call them off and the shooter sevens out.
Right. Yeah, just because you know it's a routine thing, you usually do it, you know? Just like the people who rub the machine before they hit the button.
Everybody's got their own thing. I don't take it seriously. It's not like I really think it makes any difference whatsoever.
Right.
But I'll just be mad if I don't. And I do request the same dice if I throw them off the table.
What's your favorite table game if you had to choose, or do you have one?
I'm a blackjack player first and foremost. Craps is the community game. You know, when I'm getting together with my friends, that's usually what we'll play. Baccarat is something that is really growing on me. Thank you, Michael, for that. And if I just want to drink and hang out, I play Pai Gow Poker.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I haven't played that yet. I've heard about it, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, you push like 7 or 8 hands out of 10. I mean, it's really, just sitting there waiting for your next drink.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to try that. I heard you guys, one of the last podcasts, talking about that. I want to try it. I've always watched people play, and obviously there's only, what, 3 bets in that game, but it does seem like I'd always pick the wrong one. So, but I do watch. I was watching you play at Paris, that blackjack game, and it had the triple sevens. I believe it was blazing sevens or something.
Yeah.
It had a really interesting side bet. What is the biggest side bet you've ever hit? I mean, I imagine you play it. Oh, no.
No, I don't play them. The side bets usually have a much higher house edge than the base game.
Yeah.
So, I don't say I never play them, but rarely, if ever. There's got to be a mathematical reason why I'd be playing it.
No, I hear you, and that's a common thing with a lot of people. There's either they do play it or they don't, and it's funny, the ones who do play it, when they're sitting down on the table with you, and when you don't play it, and you're always getting the match or the bonus or whatever it may have been, and, you know, they're just pissed off that you're not playing it, and it's like, well, sorry, I just don't play it, so it is what it is, you know? I'm here to play just blackjack, so.
Well, there's times when it makes sense to play it. The math has to be right. Without going into too much detail, there are certainly people who only play it when it's in their favor.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to ask one last question, and this can be maybe one of the last ones. It's, what is your worst casino experience?
So this is funny. After Saul put out his podcast today, my worst casino experience was at the D, Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
Much love to Derek. I've got no issue with the casino. I had a hotel story from hell. Just everything that could go wrong went go wrong. Everything from the elevators to issues with things in the room. I was actually attending a conference at the D. I couldn't get from my room back to the conference level. It was unfortunate. And I like the casino. I enjoy myself there. I won't stay there again.
That's one of those things. I mean, you expect older places, you know, going into it, you know, it's not going to be the newer extravagant. But, you know, when too many things start to pile up and go down on you, it can really push them.
I can understand that.
There's just too many other options. And frankly, there's too many other free options. So it isn't even like it's this inaccessible place unless you're staying there. I'm a strip snob, so that's what it is. That's where I stay. I don't mind going down to Fremont to play.
Just out of curiosity, was it recently or was it like after the remodel? Maybe they were working bugs out.
It was after the remodel. I don't remember if it was 15 or it was 2015. It was either 15 or 16. It might have been 16.
Okay.
But it was pretty recent. It was after they redid the elevators and added the other one on the outside, I guess.
Making excuses, you know, sure. But I mean,
but, it, you know, yeah, there were that's a there bummer. Were a lot of issues and not something I want to try again.
Right. Gotcha. Oh, well, yeah. Well said. So.
Well, man, this has really, really been an honor and a pleasure to do. I mean, I really wouldn't want to have anybody else on first to basically welcome us into Zorkfest and what we're getting ourselves into in East Coast. You know, here we come. But, you know, Eric, I want to thank you. I know it's getting late over on your side of the coast. And again, we really do appreciate you coming on. And I told Shane texted me a couple days ago when I asked you to come on, and he's like, I'm a little nervous. And I said, why? Why would you be nervous? I said, dude, the guy's so chill. And that's what I've met from everybody in this community, from you to Saul to all the other podcasters. You know, it's just been an upbeat, positive attitude. And hey, whatever you need, I mean, I'll lend you my right hand if you need it. And that's I can't thank you enough, brother.
That's what I'm finding out.
Thank you for
it's
being
cool.
You, man.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
But if you guys need anything, you know how to reach me. I'm a fan. I'm enjoying where you're going with this thing, and looking forward to future episodes.
Oh, that's awesome!
Well,
it's nice
to know we have a fan, brother, and we're excited to see you in a week, my friend.
That's two fans. We got you, and we got one in Canada. We're rolling up the hill. That's awesome.
Sounding like a virus.
Right. Awesome. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
Have a good night, brother.
Take care. Bye.
All right, cool. I hope you guys enjoyed that, actually. We wanted to cover the Zorkfest specifically and then go into just kind of shooting the shit with Eric. Really nice guy. Julian, I know you met him before. I can't wait to meet him in Atlantic City. It's going to be...
He really is a stand-up guy, man. The guy's got knowledge like no other people I know. And when it comes to certain things, man, he my head's hurting right now just because, you know, we've took so much in. But again, imagine how we're going to feel when we get back from this thing and, you know, what we're going to learn and the little sneak peeks we're gonna get on the inside, you know. So I'm excited to see a lot of the marketing and the way this whole thing works out. So I'm very interested.
Yeah, that is cool. So again, we're gonna do a couple of these little special ones. We're gonna try to put them out close together before we're actually in Zorkfest. Hope you guys enjoy and cheers.
Thank you guys. Much, but I've got a hunch.
girl, when they close the door, makes me want a little more. I get that feeling when I watch her go. I can watch for days, but let's take it slow. She got that rhythm, she got that bounce. When she moves her thing, when she walks out, all the girls get jealous, all the guys want more. When the lights go down, she hits the floor, she likes to dance. And then I push up, when she comes around, my eyes get stuck. She likes to dance. And then I push up, when she comes around, it ain't enough. She likes to dance. And then I push up, when she comes around, my eyes get stuck. She likes to dance. And then I push up, when she comes around, it ain't enough. She dances, I can really love.